going to the hurry up offense.
Third down and 5. Pressure from Thomas off the edge. Eli Manning stays on his feet. Airs it out down the field. It is caught by Tyree.
All right, here's your premium on for a 42-yard field goal attempt. Earl Morrill holding. And this kick is blocked. Your premium has it. Throws a pass up with the ball. It's Mike Bass. He's running away for a touchdown. Mike Bass scores.
Miller slot left. Washington outside left. Roethlisberger has time. Throws to the back of the end zone, and it is caught for a touchdown by Holmes.
Unbelievable.
Incredible.
Hi and hello, football fans. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek football program, presented as always by McDonald's. Go get you some ASAMP Studio 66. It's brimming with excitement, with tension, and so on.
It's Super Bowl week, Dave.
Super Bowl 51 is nigh. You just heard three great moments from Super Bowls past. Go ahead and visit NFL.com/DDFP to watch the digital version of Eternal Red Zone. Those plays and many, many, many more featured there for you. We look back at these great moments, the original broadcasts, as you just heard there, Kurt Gowdy's voice, Al Michaels, John Madden. That was his last broadcast, Super Bowl 43, calling the Steelers and Cardinals. And, Kurt Gowdy is one of the greats, calls a lot of those early Super Bowls. Anywho, go check it out. Like I say, NFL.com/DDFP. Handsome Hank Hodgson seated to my immediate left there. Miami Dolphins, 1972, undefeated team. They could have had a shutout. They could have had a shutout
that would have been 17-0, and they would have been a team that went 17. Well, they were a team that went 17-0.
I like
it would have been perfect symmetry, but no, he could have fallen.
It is
the
painful
ball.
To watch that highlight. It really is.
It's just like, what are you thinking?
The Garo Yepremian, if you aren't familiar with it, you really got to check it out. I mean, he's a kicker. The ball gets blocked. It comes back to him improbably. Then he decides he's going to throw
it. Oh, right.
And he throws. I mean,
just imagine, like, if you're playing a game with your kid and you got the ball in your hand and you go to throw it, but you let go of the ball right before you put your hand forward. That's what he does, and that ball just floats in the air.
But it's like, it really, when people say, like, if you wrote a script of that, no one would believe it. But it really is like, well, that's too goofy. Of course, the kicker can throw it forward. Nope, not in this case.
Not in this case.
He couldn't do it, and I like
that. And then he also has a chance to make the tackle on the back end, and he clearly is not.
I like Mike. I like Manny Fernandez, number 72. You watch the replay of that, him looking back at Garo. I like when players do that to their teammates, just to make it clear. Like, I know, and I want everybody in this stadium and watching on TV to know that I'm looking at the guy who's responsible here. You. Anywho, go back and check that one out. But you know what? We don't have to. Oh, you know what? Here's the big news, though. Here's the big news.
Oh, we got
Super
news?
Bowl 51.
Is this breaking?
It's not breaking news. We've been covering it here as things have progressed with all the breaking news. The guy who really can talk all these matters up, he covers it on his show on AM 570, Petros and Money. Matt Money Smith has been kibitzing about not just the Big Mac, but now three sizes of the Big Mac.
Yeah.
Here we go.
I dare say, I don't think there's much debate even, it is the most iconic of all items at any restaurant you can get in America.
No doubt. It cannot be argued.
Do you think that's the most, is the Big Mac?
Cannot be argued.
You say Big Mac, you know what, everyone knows
exactly.
What they're talking about.
And
name another thing that is
more famous than a croque monsieur.
No, now you found the one thing.
But there isn't a single place that you can get.
So all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onion on a sesame seed bun. I mean, come on, that's the Big Mac.
Now you can get for a limited time three juicy, cheesy sizes, the Mac Junior, the Big Mac, and the Grand Mac at participating McDonald's. I have suggested, of course, the biggest Mac.
And the Little Mac.
The Little Mac.
Little Mac, Big Mac,
all right,
Mac,
listen,
Mac.
We didn't take
was
all
Little
that.
Mac the
the player character in Punch-Out?
Exactly, which is why I love it. You know, the people that played the NES back in the day will appreciate that Little Mac was the guy from Punch-Out.
Can I tell you something? We've gone through McDonald's
Return of the Mac.
A little bit of late, and I'll tell you what, they've really jazzed up the Happy Meal prizes that you get. We went through a couple. We got some of the characters from the animated movie Sing.
They're all tied to the films now.
Oh, the kids loved it, but they were nice. They weren't throwaway toys. They were good little.
Do you have a toy from your childhood that you remember that you distinct? Because I have. I only have one that I really remember going through the McDonald's drive-thru, opening that box and pulling out and being very excited about. And granted, it's because I've done things to my brain likely that prevent me from remembering anymore and prevent me from saying the word remembering. But it was this this plastic pipe with a foam ball, and you would blow into it, and the ball would hover over the pipe, and it was a Happy Meal prize. And
Is that right?
Yes, I remember going home and just playing. I was probably 6, 7 years old, just going home and playing with it for like an hour, just watching that thing hover above the pipe.
I went to sleepover camp once, and I remember saying for the entire month that I was at sleepover camp, the first thing I'm getting as soon as we get out of here, I need some chicken McNuggets.
Yeah.
We ran. We didn't walk. We ran as soon as we were freed from this camp. It wasn't a work camp or anything, but I make it sound that way. I didn't escape or anything.
I was laying the ties, and he was laying the rail.
But I got the sweet and sour sauce for my McNuggets. Just delicious. But
McNuggets, by the way, take a guess. The year that they introduced the chicken McNugget at McDonald's.
It was 1978.
I was 78, 79, as a matter of fact, when they introduced
You know what I'm good at,
too? Didn't it seem like that was an 80s thing, the McNugget? Like, no.
That sounds about – and I remember I remember them making the scene. I always was fascinated when a new candy bar made the scene. Now it seems like there's a new one every day. But it was a new deal when I was growing up. I was like, what? They have a new candy? What?
Yeah.
It was Whatchamacallit.
Change the world.
Yeah,
change the world. Yeah. Where was the Big Mac invented?
Where?
Yes. Oh, you don't know
Not this San
story?
Diego?
You don't know this story?
Uh-uh.
Oh, Dave Damashek. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
I'm not surprised.
How about that?
Not surprised.
How about that? Local guy. I believe maybe it was like a suburb of Pittsburgh. He was the guy that came up with it.
Oh, yeah. He just died, didn't he? That guy just passed away.
Rest in peace.
Yeah. Well, see, he made the world a better place.
Darn right he did. Unlike some other people from Pittsburgh.
I want to talk about Dan Marino. Is that who you're talking about?
No, it's not who I was talking about. Would you like to take another guess?
Not Mr. Ferris, who invented the Ferris wheel.
No, not
Dr. Thomas Starzl, who
you know that original Ferris wheel? How about this? Imagine it was
like Gene Kelly?
It was like train cars. The original Ferris wheel was like the amount of weight that thing had to bear. Like just imagine like a cabin car from a train, like a Pullman car.
When was this?
This was the Columbia World Fair of Chicago at the turn of the century in the late
1800s. So how many people died constructing this?
Nobody.
Nobody?
How about that? And nobody died. And like they said, when it made its first couple turns, like nuts and bolts were falling off of it. And people are up there and they're like, I don't think this is going to go that well. And it ended up being like the big attraction. They took it apart, took it down, shipped it off, and it, you know, made its way.
You know who else is from the Pittsburgh area? Joe Montana. Ever heard of him with his four rings, 4-0? Who has the better Super Bowl resume going into and post 51? Obviously, you can figure out there are two ways that thing could go. Whose Super Bowl resume would you prefer to have philosophically?
Montana's?
Joe Montana or Tom Brady? Handsome, I start with you.
I just am excited about the fact that Montana obviously was skateboarding.
that is a Rector-style right elbow pad.
He wore that right elbow pad in his most prolific effort, right? That was in the
That is straight roller derby style.
He had on an elbow
pad.
Anyway,
I don't mean to
Their resumes are these. You probably know them without me having to tell you, although the specifics of their TD to interception ratio. Brady has thrown 4 picks in the big game against 13 interceptions. Mm-hmm. Montana famously clean, 11-0. Never threw a pick. Lewis Billups should have picked him off in the fourth quarter against the Bengals, but he didn't. So the zero is there for all of time, as is the zero in the loss column for Joe
Montana. Hey, Shaq, real quick. You said 13 interceptions. It's 13 touchdowns.
Oh, I meant 13 touchdowns. Thank you,
Emily. Got to defend Tom.
Please don't embarrass me.
No problem. Next, won't do it again.
Claybon, you go. Whose resume – would you rather be in more of the big game but have some losses, or would you be clean for history?
I like winning, so I'd rather be in the game more, period. If I lose, then that's just something that happens as a side effect of being there more. I like winning, so
– All right. Money, how say you? You're a big NBA guy. Here's the easy comparison is LeBron versus Jordan. Jordan now, for all of time, you can never do it, and whatever else you want to say about, Washington Wizards was silly, and wearing whatever Fakak, the number 45, was silly. But one thing you can't say about him is he
never lost
in the finals.
Yeah, 6-0 in the finals. Boy, it's tough. I'm just, I guess because of, again, I keep saying the word nostalgia. Nostalgia's sake makes me think that I want Joe Montana.
That's right. I know it's easy to say. Well, no, I like Clay Bond. I don't know why. If
you're asking me who's my favorite, it would be Joe Montana. But you asked me what I want.
I also think of opponents too. You know, the opponents that, and I know we just saw the Bengals, but now we're watching. If you're watching it on the video here, you know, you get the Broncos, you get the Dolphins, and you think of those quarterbacks that you faced and those teams that you faced. I think those are just more iconic Super Bowls than beating the Panthers or knocking off the Rams with a late field goal. You know what I mean?
Is that right?
Because I don't know.
They beat the mighty Rams. That was a better team.
That
was
the greatest show on turf, but it was a defensive Super Bowl. It was a defensive play that beat the Seahawks. You know, they should have won that game, but it was an interception.
Yeah, that's fair.
It was the defense that I don't know. It seemed like they were just a step ahead of that Rams offense along the way.
It is funny that you can plant an asterisk next to several of their titles, the Panthers.
Yeah.
You can plant, well, they shouldn't have been there because of the Tuck rule.
The Panthers.
Right. The Panthers. The Panthers.
Right. You know what I mean?
Jake DeLome. The Eagles, though, were a good team.
Yes, they were.
The Seahawks were the reigning champs and should have really gone back-to-back on them, but that was because they didn't give the ball to Marshawn Lynch. It wasn't anything that the Patriots did to win that one. I'll go – when it's all said and done, like you just said, Money, I'll take the Montana one.
I think
because
so.
Because the mystique factor.
Even if Brady wins number 5.
I never did. Yeah, right.
Even if he wins number 5. Even if he goes 5-2, then
if
what?
He's 5-2.
Instead of 4-0.
I think I want to just be able to say, when I got to the big game,
it was
over before we even kicked off because I never would lose. Handsome?
I'm going to go Brady.
Are you?
And I think I agree with everything you've said. I just think that Montana, when you look back now, the pieces he had around him in all those games meant that it wasn't all Montana. And I think Brady's had to do more to win the games with the pieces that
it's funny you say that, because I kind of disagree with that. They both line up with two
the greatest receiver of all time.
Well, Montana won 2 of those rings without
Jerry Rice.
Right.
But two, they both line up with 2 of the, 3 or 5 best coaches of the Super Bowl era.
Yes.
So I feel like that's kind of a wash.
Yep.
Montana, I mean, you know, Freddie Solomon and Dwight Clark were his receivers.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, great offensive line, though.
True.
You know, great offensive line. And Brady really has had a pretty darn good offensive line his whole career as well.
I find it compelling. I know it's easy for people to say, well, it's better to lose early than it was. Well, that's Tom Brady. You're putting a knock on him for winning more games in Montana.
Not doing that.
Just saying how I'd like to be remembered, which I would prefer to have. All right, next up, I know you'll hear this a million times over, but just real quick, because everybody has their opinion on it. Best Super Bowl you've ever seen, Patrick Claibon.
We saw it coming in 43. It just jumps out.
Steelers Cardinals.
It was nuts.
Yeah. It had the most good plays in it.
Yeah.
And had a great finish.
I can remember significant stretches of the game without taking plays out. It's not like, oh, well, this happened, then I think that happened. It's like, no, I know what happened exactly before halftime. I know all of the plays in the last 2 drives. We're going to hopefully get Kurt in the Hall of Fame.
Larry's hopefully you go to NFL.com/DDFP and you can get a look at the Fitzgerald touchdown, which for a lot of people, I mean, this is an 8-8 team, the best defense in the NFL, the Steelers. All of a sudden, it looks like Kurt Warner and Larry, they're going to beat the Steelers. Yeah. There are 2.5 minutes left in the biggest game, and they're going to – and it was really crazy 21st century stuff with that too, because Larry Fitzgerald, the best shot is that low end zone shot of him looking up at himself on the big screen running for a touchdown to see if anybody was going to catch him. And then, of course, the great drive by Roethlisberger.
The 1 foot in,
I'll say this. The 1 and 2 – all respect to David Tyree and any other candidate you'd throw out there, Malcolm Butler and otherwise, The two greatest plays in Super Bowl history are James Harrison's 99-yard interception. And then the Santonio catch. Given the stakes, I mean, Roethlisberger's throw, Santonio's catch, 40-some seconds left in that one.
What's the throw or the catch?
It's a fine question. I think there's a bit of a fluke factor with the throw. I mean, you know, the fact that nobody gets a fingertip on that, I mean, it goes over three sets of hands before it reaches Santonio. I'd go with the catch to get both those tippy toes down there. But I disagree that that's the best Super Bowl of all time. I think it was. I had great plays, but there are long stretches of that game that are kind of like, meh, money. How say you?
Super Bowl 20.
A childhood Matt Money Smith before he started on smoking three packs.
I think he was smoking three packs a day by 85.
The seed had been planted.
Go Matt Suey!
Yeah, let's go Gary Fensick, Matt Suey. It gave us the Super Bowl shuffle. It gave us, you know, remember the Patriots tried to make a response song, too, called Bury the Bears. We're going to bury the Bears.
No
bury
way.
No.
Yes.
Oh,
they made a response song that is one of the worst songs ever recorded.
Bury.
Called
them.
Bury also, the Bears.
You'd want to take that one back.
Yes.
They should lose Sunday just for that.
Yes. Dig that one up. So, then you had, you know, a defensive coordinator being carried off the field by the defense. They didn't want to have anything to do with Ditka. I mean, there was so much. Great. There were so many great moments. I know the game stunk and it was 46-10, but
I don't like that game because one, it made Walter Payton feel sad.
Yeah, that is.
And because he didn't score a touchdown in it.
At least the fridge did.
I also don't like that game because one thing I really resent is when the football gods deprive us of what should be a gem and instead they give us something less than that.
Dolphins.
Yeah, I mean, it should have been the Miami Dolphins who beat them just a month prior. That would have been a game.
And in the Superdome, which
that's the Superdome.
That's going to be a requirement for me to say best Super Bowl ever. It's got to be in the Superdome. That's where every Super Bowl should be.
Best
the
Super Bowl week. Well, at minimum, let's just agree, like, even years or something like that.
Yes.
Have a new stadium. All right, we'll go up there, Twin Cities.
But then back
to
New Orleans.
But now we'll see you next year in New Orleans. That's exactly right. But yeah, practically on the fast track, I've made this point many times. I'll make it again. The fast track in New Orleans, if they could beat them in the humid Orange Bowl on that night, then certainly why wouldn't 13 and company be able to do it again to them in the Superdome? Now, that would have been a good one to watch there.
Yeah, but Marino didn't wear a sweet neck roll. I mean, that really was. If you want to talk about neck rolls in a big game,
had it.
It's the greatest neck roll ever.
I think it's the only neck roll ever worn by an NFL QB.
Yeah, by a quarterback.
With good reason.
And it was the toilet bowl seat, you know? It was the toilet seat that was the neck. Oh, because look at the guy's neck. He had a giraffe of a neck, you know?
Handsome, how say you? Worst or best Super Bowl?
I agree with Patrick. I think it's 43.
43.
I really do. That's my favorite one, like I said, because of all the great plays in there.
People often will say Rams Titans, but that indicates that they really didn't watch the game. The last 5 minutes or what? Well, no, the McNair drive and the comeback Kurt Warner, and then but I mean the bulk of the game.
I saw that from my seat was at the 10-yard line.
Oh, really?
In the very low, the lowest section, maybe 20 rows up. I mean, I was dead eye level with where that tackle was made, and it's crazy when you're there and you know you feel everyone go like that moment when they think it's actually going to go down and when the tackle's made. It was that was something. But that was, like you said, it was 5 minutes.
I'll throw three out real quick. Okay. I will say Super Bowl 49. I mean, Tom Brady, just said 10 minutes ago about Joe Montana.
That drive.
Tom Brady's down 10 points to the era's best defense. It's all on him. And I say this all the time, too. Cinderella stories are great in sports. Whoa, that guy? Well, he's the hero? Wow, what neat stuff. You can't predict that. But I think what's even more compelling is when the guy has all the pressure on him. The only chance he has is this guy has to rise up, and everybody knows it, and he does it. That's being nails. Yeah. I love that. And Brady, two touchdown drives in the fourth quarter to steal that game. I love that one. And the game, I mean, pretty much start to finish is terrific. Really, if you start from about 3 minutes left in the first half, when Gronk scores the touchdown, then the Seahawks respond real quick there. Remember that? Mm-hmm. That was great. Super Bowl 13, Cowboys, Steelers, that's the best first half. It's the best single half of football you'll ever see. Great stuff. That's Jackie Smith drops it in the second half. Super Bowl 32, Broncos and Packers, an underrated Super Bowl as well. Super Bowl 14, the Rams. This is the juggernaut of all juggernauts at the time. The Steelers, three times in 5 years, had won the title. They were supposed to roll over the Rams. They're losing at the end of three quarters. It was really tense stuff in the Damashek home, as you might imagine. All right. Speaking of the 85 Bears, Matt Money Smith, his most beloved team. Here's what I don't love anymore.
What?
I think people continue to reference, like, well, it's not like this team's the – not like they're you'll hear a lot. It's not, the Falcons Bears have a good defense. It's not like they're the 85 Bears. Is it time to turn over that sports cliche?
No.
Do we need to update it?
No.
What, for the some Steelers
team? What, for some
time.
Steelers team you'd rather they
I don't
reference?
Know. There are certain cliches that exist that, it's at the very least, I get the spirit of it, but shouldn't we change it?
To
the,
what?
I don't know.
2000 Ravens?
Yeah, you could go through.
Yeah, right.
So not the 2000 Ravens.
Okay, so I say the 2000 Ravens, and you think of what when I say that?
Ray.
Okay, now I say.
So that's out.
So now I say 85 Bears, and you think of? I mean, take your pick. McMichael, Hampton, Fence. I mean, there were so many personalities.
Why don't we go?
Singletary.
What's that? Well, why don't we go early teams?
Marshall.
Seahawks. The only reason you can't do that is because it doesn't have a ring to it. It
doesn't have a ring.
How would you call them?
Yeah. It was
2010 Seahawks.
Yeah. 85 Bears.
How about the '03 Buccaneers? Sapp.
Brad Johnson.
Yeah, you're
Nickerson.
Right. The phonetics play a role in 85 Bears. I mean.
So there's no update coming from any of you.
I think that just needs to be something that's like head and shoulders above them when that happens. But the Ravens and Bears, it's a bit of a push.
Maybe if there's a great defense in 2020 and it's like,
the
20 Rams.
The 20 Bills.
Yeah. Fingers
something
crossed.
Something like that.
Let's hope.
The 20 Jags.
The London Jaguars.
Right.
All right, let's get to the start of the show. Yes, hi and hello. We are a matter of days, nay hours, nay minutes from kickoff
minutes.
Super Bowl.
We got the minute countdown clock going?
Well, I mean, we're always minutes from anything, you know.
Yes.
Ah.
If you think about it. I'm not certain of the minutes. I'm not certain. Handsome Hank.
Maybe Emmer will give us an update.
I would like you to go to NFL.com/DDFP and watch Eternal Red Zone. We appreciate you doing that. Do we want to play the intro songs all over again? We want to play the.
It's Tuesday, Dave. Why would you mean all over again?
All right, because I'm excited.
I like my
intro song. It's been about 5,000 minutes since we lost her.
All right, let's hear it. Let's start it off today with the man who hails from London, England, but his heart belongs in Miami, thanks to number 13 in turquoise, Dan Marino. It's Handsome Hank.
He's handsome.
Handsome is a hamburger, a sandwich?
No, it's a hamburger.
So it has its own
category. I mean, in a menu, if I'm ordering in a menu, if I look in the sandwiches, I'm expecting to see a chicken sandwich or a pulled pork sandwich. But then I would say, I don't think I want a sandwich today. Today I would like a hamburger. Oh. There's a hamburger menu. Within the hamburger menu, you got your classic, you got your cheeseburger, you've got some variations of other ones.
Sandwich is the name sandwich comes from some
Earl of Sandwich.
Who was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to push between these two pieces of bread. I'm going to put some ham, some cheese, some pickles,
some lettuce,
some tomato.
So as not to get my hands dirty. Yeah. I'm going to protect it with the
grade. Like a glove.
Yeah.
Like and
a glove.
Roundabout, when did this happen?
1871.
For real, when
March
did this happen?
1871.
You have no guess? You don't know
if it was. I just guessed. That was my guess.
I know, but it was.
It quickly.
So it wasn't like. I wonder if it was like the 11th century.
No.
What
I just
think?
Know that I know the hamburger was some spot
in Connecticut.
Can you
look up when that was, please?
That's all
somebody. I'd love to know when a sandwich happened. First happened. Because it's, you know, our lives are. I feel. I speak for all of us here. Our lives would be quite different and quite a bit worse were it not for sandwiches.
Yep.
I think. What do you think you've eaten the most of in your life as a category? Pizza.
Sandwiches in there.
Yeah,
it's not even close. Yeah, because of school, you know, your school lunch.
Sandwiches.
food in peanut a bowl, butter and jelly, yeah, all those sandwiches.
Sandwiches over peanut. Well, what about food in a bowl? What about food in
like
a bowl?
Breakfast
cereal every morning, ice cream.
I've had more food in a bowl than sandwiches, but just because I like to eat breakfast cereal in the morning.
Sometimes 18th century night. Europe.
There you go. You're not too far off.
I'm going to go out on a limb, and I don't have any factual evidence to support that. But it's 2017. We don't need that. I'm going to say somebody invented the sandwich and had the sandwich and enjoyed the sandwich prior to the European dude that's going to get credit for forever.
The UK has so little at this point,
right?
Clay, but let them have their
sandwich. The sandwich is considered to be the namesake of John Montagu, the fourth Earl of Sandwich.
Hey, thanks for getting there, Emma.
But see, speaking to Claybon's point, hey, I can read Wikipedia too, Emma. it says the ancient Jewish sage Hillel the Elder is said to have wrapped meat from lamb and bitter herbs between two pieces of old-fashioned matzah.
The Hebrewites were first.
There you go.
But it probably wasn't good on the matzah.
How you like that, Emma? See what I just did there?
If you were like – if you were an ancient Hebrewite –
He doesn't respect you!
Yeah, imagine like I want a sandwich. I'm gonna put my salami in here in between the matzah.
Ooh,
like it probably
salami.
Would all fall.
See, but here's the thing with your initial question there, right? If you were to take sliced turkey or ham or salami and throw it on a plate, you would never say, "Hey, there's a sandwich." If you were to take that hamburger patty out of the bread and throw it on a plate, you'd be like, "Hey, you're eating a hamburger without the bun, huh?" Like that's. That's and same thing with a hot dog. Like if you take a hot dog out of the bread and throw it on the plate, it's still a hot dog. The sandwich ceases being a sandwich the second those two pieces of bread are removed.
I don't understand though the meaning of the point though, because is that not also true if I eat if I was going to eat a salami sandwich.
Right.
But instead I say I'm just going to eat some salami.
You wouldn't say it's a sandwich, but if you were going to eat a hamburger patty,
you'd say that.
You would
the
say right there. You'd be like, "Oh, you're having the ham." You know what I mean? You wouldn't call it. You've got some grilled ground chuck that you're eating. You would call it a hamburger.
And that's the asterisk on the entire conversation.
Wow.
Because when we say hot dog, when we say hamburger, we're referencing the meat,
right,
inside of the.
And so the whole situation to me obviously is a sandwich.
You mean the hot dog is a sandwich?
If you're talking about the encompassment of the meal.
Because when we say a turkey sandwich, we're actually designating it a sandwich by the turkey that's in between.
And see,
that's
I think it's weird.
Interesting pushback.
If you had a hot dog bun.
So you're supposed to call it a hamburger sandwich? Or
no,
hot
you
call
sandwich. It a hamburger because colloquially people understand what you're saying. But if you have a hot dog bun and turkey and tomatoes and lettuce and cheese in there.
You would thereby not call that a hot dog.
No, you'd call it a sandwich. But the second you put a sausage or a collection of ground beef into something, it becomes something. It's just
wait a second. I don't know whose side this puts me on.
Right.
Now. I'm so confused. I don't know if I'm on
Claybon
or
Money. Why do you think the debate is eternal?
Why? But what then do you do with a French dip or a croque monsieur or something?
I don't know what a croque monsieur is.
Or a panini.
This is the second week in a row.
Okay, once you take them apart, they cease being that designated name, you know.
Croque monsieur is very nice. It's melted cheese and some ham.
And if you were to put the melted cheese and the ham on a plate, you'd be like, hey,
cheese melt.
You know, that's like a Malibu chicken right there. If you get me a breast and we go to the Sizzler, we get two for $6.99. You know what I mean? Like it's no longer a sandwich. It's no longer a French dip if it's just roast beef with some, you know, it's roast beef. That's what you got on a plate.
Yeah.
My brain is not big enough to take this all on, even. I don't know what to make of this.
You started it with the hamburger.
It's the most important discussion of our time.
Yes.
But back to, back to where we started, is the Big Mac the most famous? So is it a sandwich then? So where are we leaving off here?
That's the same question.
Is it the most famous? Oh, let's go to this. Is it the most famous item in food history?
No.
Well,
the sandwich.
Restaurant.
The sandwiches. We just established that as well.
I mean, or
I would say a sandwich probably. Like a Big Mac is a subsection of a hamburger, which
although,
may or may not
I, no,
be
no, no,
a
I get where you're going now, and this is interesting. Is,
I guess you can't say
is
you
the Big
say
Mac
spaghetti.
More famous than the French dip? Is the Big
yes.
Mac more famous?
Yeah, I'm not saying spaghetti.
Right.
Right. But is it more famous?
Is pizza.
How about this? Right. How about. If
but that you can't make that. You see, that's the thing. That's apples and oranges because the Big Mac is a
type
specific
of
type of hamburger. So you would have to have
that's
a specific
saying.
Type
that's
of
exactly
pizza.
That's exactly right. Precisely.
Yes. So
precisely.
As far as a
thank
yes,
you.
As a designer really item, I would say yes. The Big Mac is the most famous.
And I think it could transcend if we started listing items that right. are meat inside of bread, whatever you want to call them, eventually you'd get to a point where you'd say, I think the Big Mac is more recognizable than that. Like for me, what's the French word we keep saying?
Croque monsieur.
I would have a Big Mac ahead of that.
Yeah. You've never had one. I don't think you.
Exactly.
I don't know that you need to be a part of this conversation, Clint. You never even had a croque monsieur. Excuse me, sir. No, but I think that, yeah, you wouldn't say ice cream. You would have to more properly
say Rocky Road.
Yeah. Right.
Is
even
a Big Mac
a banana,
more famous than
right.
or a banana split, yeah.
Or a French dip. I haven't heard any suggestion. Or deep dish pizza might make the list. Anyone behind the glass? Fish and chips?
But see, that's still generic fish and chips.
Yeah.
You know what I mean,
it's not a specific type of like type a filet-o-fish and
right.
fries.
Exactly.
I don't know that you do based on the parameters that we've laid out.
I don't know. I'm still lost on the parameters.
Why isn't all fish and chips and when you get them in England, it's the same cind of fish, isn't it?
Right, but
is it all
but,
that,
but,
yeah.
but Big Mac is really a. There are other people who are making hamburgers.
There is a
in
specific
the same
sauce.
Realm.
You know, your chopped onions. Your you know, there's. It's a very specific.
Yeah. I disagree with her, but MVP behind the glass is cracking the figurative whip saying, we don't have time for that.
We don't.
I do love this discussion, but we got to move on.
It's Super Bowl week. We got the Super Bowl.
They're playing a game on Sunday.
This is the day you decide
now.
To break it out.
You're right.
5 days before the Super Bowl. Game.
That was a mistake on my part. All right, let's say hello to him quickly then. Let's do it as quick as possible. Matt Money-Smith here.
Oh.
Chicago guy, and he hosts the NFL Fantasy Live.
Matt Money!
Skateboarded as a kid.
Matt Money!
He's on with Damashek.
Matt Money!
He's Matt Money Smith.
Matt Money Smith, check him out, AM570 Radio in Los Angeles, or track him down on iHeartRadio. Hey, guess what? This was a big thing again. Because I'm vain, not narcissistic.
Right.
Petros Papadakis, your radio partner, followed me recently on Twitter.
Boom.
It's about time.
I'm vain because I always feel like Petros probably isn't a big fan of Dave's. You know.
Oh, no, he is.
No, don't.
I wouldn't lie to you. You know that. You know I wouldn't lie to you.
He would lie to me.
Because he does not like most people. But, no, he likes you.
Why would you think he doesn't like you? Let's get because into your psyche a little bit.
I'll tell you why. He probably hasn't heard this because he's much more successful than I, but I have heard from people in the broader industry that, like, oh, you and Petros are sort of filled the same space, which is an insult to him. He's a former football player. He played at USC and everything, so I certainly don't have that. But I guess, you know, ugly voice and stuff like that. Petros doesn't have the pipes like Money. Well, you know what I mean. Just compared to Money. Like Money has the pipes.
I think more it's a thinking
bombastic.
A thinking man's comic, you know, is the lane that you also fill that I think Petros fills too. You know,
wow. He's terrific.
Men that can spin the funny, because it's not about the money, it's about the funny. But I can do it on perhaps a higher level.
Other people have moved across the country.
Across the country because
based
of that.
On that, on that
right.
and that,
that's right.
that alone. Hey, Football Baby is going to be in Houston, Texas, I hope. I can take him to the game, but how about you take him? Let's round out the 2016 NFL season the right way. Get him there. Go to at Damashek. Find the PDF. Let's see how many people can bring Football Baby into the stadium with you. Most recently, there he is with Matt with Max Pushkin. He went into enemy territory, Foxborough. He didn't win, but he won my heart. That's what Max did by taking him in there. Anywho, all right, let's move on now to just before we head off next. Right after we finish this edition, we jump on an airplane and we fly until we reach the Lone Star State.
Yes.
Scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you for Houston, Texas?
7.5.
Seven and a half quarters,
I think.
I've never been there. I'm intrigued. I have no visual sense of what Houston is going to look like. It's our fourth biggest city, and yet I feel like a lot of people agree with me. There's not like I can conjure images of what I expect, even if I've never been to certain places. I have no sense of what Houston's going to be like. Hey, Money, you have been there.
I have. many times I've been to Houston.
What's the third?
You know, they have open carry. I mean, open, you know. Yeah. Guns or whatever.
You're right.
Open carry law, right? I'm thinking that's a you're allowed to carry.
No, you got people getting all excited thinking they're going to be like in Vegas with their giant Slurpees that are chock full of well liquor. No, a different kind of.
I'm talking about packing heat.
Concealed.
That's right. Yeah. That's why I'm saying, mind your P's and Q's.
That's what I just said. Hey, yeah, I've been there.
Money.
Been there a bunch.
Money and me and Akbar Bajabiamila will be Wednesday through Friday. What time?
So you mean tomorrow through Friday?
That's right.
Yeah, tomorrow through Friday. I think it is.
You better get your skates on.
I want to say it is 2 o'clock to, I believe, 5 o'clock is our broadcast on NFL.com. NFL Now. 2 o'clock.
Well, out on Media Row.
What time zone would I need to be in for it to be?
That would be the Central. That would be
Central.
Local time.
Local
time. Local time. I believe it is 2 to 5.
So 3. To 6.
3 to 6.
Eastern time.
Noon to 3.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Pacific, yeah.
We'll be breaking it down. It'll be much like this, except it won't have Handsome and Claybaugh.
Probably better.
We'll miss you. Yeah.
But Akbar will be there.
Yep.
And his 2 sacks. All right, let's do it now. It's time for a Super Bowl edition of the 10-foot pole.
Bring it in.
Bring in the 10-foot pole. Here we go.
Yeah.
All right.
It,
Emma VP. People often ask, Emma VP, why don't we see Emma VP on camera? Because Emma VP refuses to be on camera. That's why.
You saw her for
second. See how quick she got out of there.
Yeah.
She doesn't like to be on camera. You know what?
Nope.
The enigmatic. Yeah. Who's the celebrity woman who hid away from public eye for about 50 years?
Sia?
Nah.
Yeah, there's.
Doris Day? Is that who I'm thinking of?
I don't know.
Anyway, that's like Emma VP. Anyhow.
I'll take it.
Not that much like
Paul Newman and Julianne Moore moved to Connecticut out of Hollywood. You know, they were like the big celebrity couple that decided.
Wait, who did? Julianne Moore and who?
Paul Newman. Wasn't that his wife's name?
No, Julianne Moore is.
What am I thinking? What was his wife's name?
Ah, man, now my head's spinning.
All right, now I got to look up something else.
Now we got to get back to hamburgers.
Was it Anne? There's Emma VP.
These guys are bothering me.
If you're watching NFL.com/DDFP and you're intrigued, or if you're not and you want to see Emma VP.
Does Bartlett have 6 hands?
There's Ryan Bartlett. Like, there's David Lara. You got the whole gang in there behind the scenes.
Yeah. Joanne Woodward. Joanne Woodward. Yeah, they left Hollywood for Connecticut, remember? Because they didn't want to be part. They didn't like the whole celebrity thing.
I think Gene Hackman lives in New Mexico, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
People do that kind
of
stuff.
Get away with that now because of Newman and Julianne Moore, also known by her alias, Joanne Woodward.
Kilmer also moved to
and Emma VP.
Trailblazers them.
That's right.
He lives in New Mexico or Mexico?
Yeah, New Mexico.
Oh. You're in Mexico now. Good luck getting back in. Big wall there waiting for you. Try to get in.
Yeah.
Not yet.
Not there yet. Also plans.
Grappling hooks and ropes.
Yeah.
Sales have skyrocketed.
Planes.
Also logic.
Yeah.
And massive movable catapults.
Are we supposed to laugh or are we supposed to cry at the fact that there hasn't been a single brick or whatever else laid yet, and you already know that for all the talk and all the nonsense about it, it's not going to repel anybody. Anybody who wants to come into the country is still going to get their way into the country.
I think laughter
is
an acceptable defense mechanism that that my people have used for generations.
Terrific. So. It's a great use of our money. All right, so 10-foot pole.
It's going to be an amazing wall.
I've heard that it might be solid gold even.
Beautiful wall.
Yeah. Might be the best.
Yeah, there will be no digging. I wonder how
Let's move on.
It's a different podcast.
You know what? If you have a 10-foot pole, you might vault yourself right over that wall. As it is,
Young men did regularly growing up, thinking that they could take like a stiff stick or a crutch or something in pole vault, and it always ended in horrible
injury. Yeah, you tried that too.
Of course. Right? Yeah. Broomstick,
pool
something. Yeah, yeah, pool stick.
Horrible.
Everybody did. It ended badly.
Either way, we do have a literal 10-foot pole, not like all the cowards out there who just talk figuratively about, I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole, all right? Guess what? Now I'm going to hold your feet to the fire here because I have a literal 10-foot pole. We start with you, Patrick Claibon.
Okay.
And the first item that we will be discussing here is, let me find Matt
Ryan.
I got him. Here he is. Matty Ice. Ready? Matt Money Smith will hold the face of Matt Ryan there. First up, Matt Ryan will throw more than four.
Oh, I got to put my face behind this. He's far too good looking for me to be right next to that.
You actually bear a passing resemblance.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Matt Ryan will throw for more than 315 yards in Super Bowl 51. Patrick Claibon, will you touch that with a 10-foot pole?
Yes.
You didn't even think about it. Don't knock out his pearly white teeth, though.
I see what Matt Ryan was able to do in throwing for over 300 yards against Pete Carroll and the Seahawks. Comes right back, does it against the Packers, which isn't as impressive, but still, it's the way that the offense works.
Kind of done it all year.
Yeah. And so why would I
– That's what they have to.
I'm not sure why I would think anything else would happen.
Well, I mean, 315 is almost, mild by the standard that he set, and I'll refer you to any doubters out there. People are, you know, we've been talking for weeks, obviously, about the Patriots are the best scoring defense, but they allow a lot of yards, so I don't think that should be too big a concern for you. With where Matt Ryan's concerned. It is fascinating, though, that they allow all those yards, and yet they are number one in scoring defense, are the Patriots. Next up, let's talk about the offense of the New England
right
Patriots.
Here.
Specifically, beat me to it here. Now it is Handsome Hank's turn with the 10-foot pole. Tom Brady will throw the most touchdown passes of anybody throwing the ball. So we're keeping it open a little bit.
You're better looking than Brady, Claibon. You can put your face up there.
I'd put like a MAGA hat right here. And then,
here we go. Here we go. Tom Brady will throw the most touchdown passes of any player in Super Bowl 51.
Of any player.
That's why I said I'm leaving it open there.
Hashtag MAGA.
I don't know. What do you know? Maybe Garoppolo has to take over.
Yeah, maybe the Garoppopotamus comes.
Maybe Belichick's like, I'm not seeing what I don't like what I'm seeing out of you today, 12. Yeah. Sit down.
Maybe LeGarrette Blount throws a couple himself.
The future is now, right. Maybe, I don't know, maybe Dan Quinn has a couple of sneaky plays holstered away, and he's going to have, maybe not one but two touchdown passes. Yeah. Why do you never see that, too, by the way? That would be a great move.
What's that?
If you run a fake punt or a fake whatever, run it again in the same game. No one ever does that.
Not in the same game, the very next time you punt. Because no one has ever expected you to run two fake punts.
Lightning never strikes twice in the same place, right? So the coaches will say, we got to be more mindful. After we got burned last week by that, we have to, you know, looking ahead now, we have to be more prepped for this. They're not going to be looking for it that week.
Right. Not in the same game.
Or even better, you don't run the exact same play, but you do what you've – oh, he threw to the right that time. This time he turns and runs to his left. That would definitely work.
Definitely.
Dan Quinn, Bill Belichick, are you listening? I hope
yes.
so. Congratulations in advance if you are. All right, Tom Brady, Handsome Hank.
I
want to
see how long
hand.
We can talk and make Patrick hold Tom
Brady's One more thing about hamburgers. If they have – all right, here we go.
No, you know
Tom
what?
Brady, most touchdown pass.
I can get close to it, but I'm not actually going to touch that with a 10-foot ball. Because everything you said – A has was just added fuel to the fire, but I think
Tom's
Matt
not
Ryan,
happy. Look at
I think
him.
Matt
he's,
Ryan
he's upset.
will throw more touchdowns than him, and potentially LeGarrette.
We'll get your pick next week from Houston, Hanson.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But
sad.
Are you leaning towards the team in the red jerseys?
Yes,
you are.
Yes.
Ooh. Or this Thursday. I'm sorry, I said next Thursday.
Yeah. In 2 days' time.
Right.
48 hours from now.
You're gonna take the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah. Why not?
You know they're playing, right?
Yeah, I don't care.
Belichick and Brady. Yep. You're going to take the
Falcons.
Remember
that time when the Patriots were playing the Rams?
Last time I checked, they lost two Super Bowls.
Yep.
Just saying.
Yeah, we saw that earlier.
Matt Money Smith.
Yep. What do I get?
Julio Jones. Oh, let me get his face.
Matt Money.
Julio Jones will have the most receiving yards in Super Bowl 51. Will you touch that with a 10-foot pole?
You know what? I'd like to because I don't think they have anyone that can cover him. But you know what they always say about Bill Belichick,
that's
right? He's going to take away the number. You're not going to beat him with the number one way that people think you're going to beat him. So I'm going to go ahead and –
look what he did to Le'Veon Bell's groin.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say that he will not lead. I think
do you like the volunteer? Who will?
I'm going to go Edelman. I'm going to go Edelman. There we go.
Had a great Super Bowl in 49. Let's round it out with this one.
Gary Blunt.
Gary Blunt.
Yep, that's
I like that. You're on a casual.
I've never heard
sort
Gary.
Of...
I've heard Leggy Blunt. But
here we go.
How about you do it? You haven't
held
one yet. You have not held one yet.
Thank you very much, Money.
Gary Blunt. Ooh, if the Patriots win, I hope he'll pay another visit to Studio 66. We had a grand time with him when he was in here a couple of years ago, right after he won. Here we go. LeGarrette, a.k.a. Gary Blunt.
Why is he smiling like that?
Will rush yeah, right? for at least two touchdowns.
Man, look at me. I'm Dave Damajek.
Look handsome. Look at that. Mm. Right, here we go. Gary Blunt, two touchdowns or more in 51. Will you touch that with a 10-foot pole, Claybon?
I will glance off at one.
What does that mean?
What do you mean?
Well, that's
one,
not two.
I don't think that's a rule. I don't think
I
that's
missed.
A thing.
I didn't actually touch it.
Oh, I see.
So
oh,
he won't.
I would have needed to touch. I would have needed to touch LeGarrette, but yeah. I caught whoever was behind him.
I wouldn't play games with LeGarrette like that.
No, I wouldn't either.
I wouldn't either.
He'll make you pay.
Yeah. So I chose not to poke him with the stick.
Right.
I got you.
He's smiling though.
Who knows what?
No, and LeGarrette Blunt came on. Up to the minute, which is going to be on the 3 o'clock on NFL Network coming on Friday.
All right. Hosted. Money, we won't kibitz with you.
Three.
We won't. What am I talking about? We'll be on the media row.
Yeah.
I'll hear your pick then. Claybon, I won't hear your pick. Who are you taking in this game?
You will not hear my pick then, but it's tough to decide. I've come here to game week, and I've started to think about some
here
things.
Here we are at game week.
But I'm going to stick with the Atlanta Falcons. I'm going to make the pick of the Atlanta Falcons to win the Super Bowl.
Two Falcons.
You talk about recency bias, and they deserve it for having not one but two dynamite games in a row, the Falcons, Matt Ryan and the team at large. But you talk about recency bias. If I would have said that to you even before the Packers game, if I would have said, oh, yeah, a lot of people think the Falcons are going to be able to beat the Patriots, you would have laughed.
But no, we just had
what?
This.
I know.
We
I said
had this
I,
exact conversation
I said if it, I
in
said
that
if it,
Dave Damashek football program where you're like, oh, my God, if the Falcons win this and not the Packers, no one's going to take the Falcons.
That's what I said.
Like,
I said the worst matchup.
No,
we were talking worst possible matchup. And I said Patriots-Falcons.
That offense is nasty. That is nasty to deal with.
I guess so. No, I'm buying into the mystique. I fear the mystique.
Did you take the Seahawks or the Falcons?
That's also the bias of you watching your team getting dismantled by the team. So for you, it will make more sense for the Patriots to win because then you can
say, but I said that
before. The Steelers, but they lost to
how many points
the Super
does
Bowl
the
champions.
Mystique score?
I know that this is one of your things, Claybon, that you think it doesn't matter, but I'll remind you that the people playing in these games are, in fact, people, human people. So those sorts of things do register in their brains. So you think you just turn that off? Well, that doesn't matter to me that Bill Belichick is against us. It doesn't make a difference that the greatest quarterback of all time is against us. Of course it matters, and it registers and makes you play tight. You saw that happen to the Steelers.
I think we have the Patriots winning a Super Bowl where Malcolm Butler makes a play that puts him in our national conscience, but it's because Cam Chancellor had a certain size where he didn't get cleared off of the line, and so Malcolm Butler's able to get in there and make a pick. I think like the plays matter more than – I don't know that Malcolm Butler was imbued with some sort of
– mystique.
Yeah, magical power.
I just wonder,
can I tell you something? I disagree with that.
You said recency
you
bias.
You think he has a magical power?
I don't think he has a magical power.
Does it come
but
from
I
the
think
jersey?
I think he has a sense of himself that he wouldn't otherwise have if he weren't on the Patriots with Belichick.
I'm just going to play your psychological game here of recency bias, and I'm going to drop a confirmation bias on you that I think you have picked
Boom.
Against the Falcons pretty much all year. Like this is just a team, and I could be wrong, but I'm projecting now.
No. I went for the record. May I say?
I don't think you've bought the Falcons all season long.
False.
Okay.
I said Emma VP and Ryan Bartlett behind the glass. Did I not say in late November that all of a sudden I said, you know who's looking really good and the way things are breaking is going to be the NFC representative, the Atlanta Falcons.
Okay.
Now, I also said that about the Seahawks.
I stand corrected then because I thought you took the Seahawks and then I thought you took the Packers and now here we are again and you're going to pick the Patriots.
I did because I was you're right. We're talking
so I think
about
confirmation
bias, you're right.
Yeah.
I picked against Matt Ryan in the playoffs, but I did say the way things are setting up now, all of a sudden the Falcons are going to get one of those two byes and there's a chance things run through Atlanta as they did and there was a I wasn't sleeping. I think I was impressed by their back-to-back games in Seattle and Denver, too. That's when you realize, oh, this is not a repeat
of
last year.
You weren't impressed by the victories over the 49ers and the Rams?
How about that Panthers game? Remember that?
But like, yeah, that was also
– that was a fantastic game.
Yeah.
Anywho. All right,
yes.
So Emma VP, now you want us to wrap it up here.
Wrap it up. I'll take it.
Oh, look at that. Do you know that reference there? Clay Bonner Handsome? Who sang that song?
Anybody?
I have no idea.
I wouldn't.
I think of Wrap It Up. I think of a Chappelle sketch.
Wrap It Up.
I'll take it.
What a terrible
The Fabulous Thunderbirds.
You don't remember? That didn't reach the UK, Handsome?
Didn't.
Wrap It Up. Yeah.
I could tell
terrible
you that.
Song.
That sounds like a fake band.
Let's all go eat some naan sandwiches around Houston, Texas, everybody. We'll talk to you from Media Row down there. Yep. Thanks to Matt Money Smith, Handsome Hank Hodgson, Patrick Claibon, MVP, Ryan Bartlett, David Lair, everybody behind the glass. Do them a favor because they're the ones who did all the toil on Eternal Red Zone, the Super Bowl edition. Yes. Dig it up. NFL.com/DDFP is how you do that. We're going to figure out the Big Mac situation on the next show.
Yeah.
Thin slice of heaven.